Hello, podcast family. My name is Duncan Masua, and welcome to our Farmer Mentor series brought to you by Farmers Inside Track. Now, as you know, here we delve into the world of farming and agribusiness to uncover the stories, the strategies, and innovations that drive the industry forward. Goodwill Mbenyane is a renowned farmer and agribusiness expert with a wealth of knowledge and experience in sustainable agriculture. In this episode, we'll explore the intricacies of his farming operations, the innovative techniques he uses to enhance productivity, and the strategic decisions that have shaped his successful career. Let's meet Goodwill.
Goodwill, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Duncan. I'm so happy to be part of the program.
Definitely. I think I saw you last year when we had our Farmer's Day on your farm.
That's correct. Then it was so successful.
Yeah, and it's definitely nice being able to catch up with you again and also hopefully hear, you know, how you've grown since. For someone who has not heard about you and your cooperative, maybe take us through the journey. Where did it all start for you?
I was employed as a business development officer for a company called MSDT. And then I then left, joined another company called TechProSef. Also, it was part of the job, but I was also focusing on the youth development in the agricultural sector. Then saw this opportunity because there was a farm at home that was not even utilized. Then I said, no, let me gradually develop this farm. And we formed a family co-op. And then we started maybe planting some few vegetables. It was not an easy journey until now where things are actually unlocking themselves. But not to say unlocking themselves, we are unlocking them as we are working the land. So currently our market, as I said, able to supply the school nutrition programs. We normally sell about 5,000 cabbages every weekend. And then also supplying the retailers like Spar, White River, Roots, at the local Roots shops around the area.
That's a lot of cabbages. You said 5,000 cabbages a weekend.
That's correct. Yes, 5,000 cabbages a weekend. And the price is good.
It's quite impressive. And someone is listening to our conversation now and they definitely want to know how you are able to do all of this. But before we get into that, you mentioned cabbages as one of the crops and, of course, tomatoes. Why those crops specifically? Because I know those are your main crops. Maybe take us through why you decided on those being your primary focus.
I think it's a very good question that you're asking. You know, agriculture is a business. You need to actually look at what people want. Don't plant something that people won't buy. So it's not like you're planting flowers. Okay, flowers, normally people will buy them. But you need to plant a certain crop that people will like so that you can also make money. It's not like planting for the fun of it. You need to plant so that your money can come back. The reason we're focusing on cabbage, cabbage is one of the biggest crops around here. It's a veg that can actually feed a whole family, so to say. People maybe will alter for cabbage than maybe buying meat because it's cheaper. When I say it's cheaper, I'm saying it's affordable. So the reason I'm focusing on those crops is because people are using it on a daily basis.
No, definitely. To be able to supply on the kind of level that you do, you're talking about 5,000 cabbages per weekend, you must have quite a few impressive farming methods that you have implemented, you know, farming techniques. What are some of the innovative farming techniques that you have implemented that helps you ensure this kind of activity and efficiency?
You need to look at your land. You need to take care of the soil that you're using. You need to understand your crop rotation. You need to understand the irrigation system that you're using. I used to do drip irrigation. It works quite well, but cabbage actually likes your rain or your sprinklers. It enjoys that type of irrigation system. It's a leafy crop that actually likes water from the top. You need to understand the type of crop that you're planting and what kind of irrigation does needs or does it like to say. Your green peppers, you cannot use your sprinklers because it will rust. But if you apply your drip irrigation, they are going to harvest quite some time.
So we've established that cabbages and tomatoes are your main crops. Do you practice crop rotation? And what are the crops that you implement in that practice?
Yes, we do apply crop rotation. So you need to understand the family crops that you planted. You don't repeat them on the same land. For instance, we've planted cabbage, you need to actually alter for your green beans or maybe legumes so that you can build your soil again so that you can have a consistency supply of that crop. And at the same time, you need to look at the land that you are using. You need to take good care of the land. We normally do some soil tests every time when we plant a new crop so that the test will tell us what the soil needs. It will be useless to put something that the soil does not need. This is a business, as I said earlier. Don't waste and put something that the soil does not want. You need to do your test, and then your test will tell you exactly what actually needs to be put on the soil.
That's quite impressive, Goodwill, you know, some of the strategies that you implement on the farm. But, you know, going back to 2010, when this entire journey started, your agricultural journey, I'm sure there were a lot of mistakes that you made in the beginning, mistakes that might have cost you a lot of money as well. Maybe take us through some of those mistakes, if you can recall them.
If I can just give you an example. By then, I think the price of cabbage was around 10 rand. And then one will say, hey, if I plant 100,000 cabbages now, after 3 months, I'm having 1 million. And okay, it's true, but you can plant 100,000 and then you harvest only 1,000.
Yeah.
And then how much you have lost? It has actually improved the co-op. Now we understand that, let's say your target per year is around 200,000 cabbages. So you need to stagger your planting so that you can have a consistent supply and you can also manage the crops that you have planted. Unlike planting the whole 200,000 at the same time and then your harvest becomes nothing. We have learned a lot that in order for you to catch the market and to be a consistent supply, make sure that actually staggering your crops, you plant at a certain pace. As I said earlier, that you need to have at least, let's say maybe you're planting about, then divide by 12 months. If you want to plant about 200,000, you have to plant about 20,000 every month. Yeah. Then you can even supply. But if you want to plant at the same time, forget it, my brother. You won't even reach it. I see there's also a lot of people that are going the route that I took when I was still starting, but I do advise them not to go through that.
And of course, you know, farming is a risky business. You have climate change, you have issues of one day, you know, planting your seeds. And when it comes to harvesting, you're harvesting way less than you had anticipated. How do you mitigate risks in your business? What are some of the strategies that you implement?
We normally buy seedlings from a certified seedlings company. But the challenge that we are facing is actually having a loss. Us as farmers, we are the ones that are having a loss because the type of seedlings that you're buying, let's say maybe you have bought cabbages and you transplant them, but they're not all going to be the same size. As you know, if I could just make an example, I'm coming from a family of four brothers. I'm the short one. The other one is taller than me. So all the cabbages won't be the same size. The strategies that we're putting in, it's just to mitigate that challenge. Every week, we are planting about 5,000 cabbages, but we are planting about 500 extra just to mitigate that factor. Even though it costs us more, but for the market that we are supplying, it's actually becoming consistent. And at the same time, if you look at the factors such as climate change, it has affected us a lot. Winter comes before its time. So you need to understand that all those factors are factors that will be affecting the farming business. Other than that, we have your natural disasters like your hail, your frost. As a farmer, you need to understand that the crops that you're putting in, for instance, in our case, white river is very cold. During winter, we're not doing tomatoes because we know that it will be frostly affected. And then during summer, we try to have our leafy crops and our ground crops. Our ground crops will be like your sweet potatoes, your onions, so that if maybe hail comes, and then maybe destroys the cabbage, at least you have a backup of those crops, I guess, with potatoes.
You know, you talk about markets. You said in the beginning that school nutrition programs, a local spa, and also butcheries are some of the markets that you supply. But, you know, for someone that's starting out farming, the aspect of markets and finding markets can be quite a challenging thing. What was your process like? How did you approach establishing a market for yourself?
This will be a good and a free advice to those who will be actually going to the page, I think, in the next coming few days. We normally say in agriculture, if you can't irrigate it, don't plant it. So if you can't irrigate a certain crop, what is the reason of you planting it? Because you're not going to harvest it. So a farmer, before planting a certain crop, they need to do their market research. The market research will actually tell that farmer what kind of crop and what is the demand for that crop. We started on a high note without shaking the market, and then it did not work out. But now the market tells us what kind of crops and how many quantities does they require at a certain time. So now we are planting according to what the market needs. We are not actually planting according to our specifications. So the market will give us a specification, then we actually try to maintain and the consistency in terms of what the market wants. Basically, a farmer needs to do a proper market research, and then that research will actually tell the farmer that these are the type of crops that they want, and these are the quantities at a specific time.
Very important, definitely. You know, that is one aspect of running a farming business that it's important, but there's also another aspect, which is finance and budgeting and all of that. How do you manage the financial aspects of your farming business, especially when it comes to budgeting and forecasting? How do you approach that?
We are actually operating on a family farm, of which it belongs to my dad. Luckily, we are given the privilege to use it. What actually works best that we have learned is that the money generated from the farm, we are actually reinvesting. And luckily, my uncle gave me the offer now to purchase the farm from him. So the money that we are getting from the farm, we reinvest back to the farm. We want also now to do goat farming. The reason for that is that a vegetable farming is not an easy business. If you have not planted any crops on the ground, there's no money coming in. So that means you cannot even talk about budget. You cannot even talk about paying workers or buying inputs. Mm-hmm. So vegetable farming is a daily business. You need to understand that if you're not actually planting or preparing the land, putting something on the ground, you're not going to get anything. Hence is why now we want to also do an extent of goat farming, where we need to specialize with goats. We started with 5 goats, and then we ended up getting about 15. And then out of the 15, 10 were stolen, they left 5. And out of the 5 that they left, we have now about 25. So we want to do goat camps. The business is there for goats. Apart from that, the 21 hectares that we are operating under, we are only using about 10 for vegetables. And there's also portions where you can also do goat camp for one to produce goat meat.
It's quite impressive, and I'm sure you'll definitely be growing to newer heights. I'll definitely be asking you a bit later in terms of where you see yourself within the next 5 and 10 years, your agricultural business. But maybe staying with the financial side, if you look at your business, what are the financial indicators that you use to determine whether your business is still in a healthy state? What are some of those indicators for you?
One needs to look at the growth from where you have started and the relationship that you build with your markets. If things are looking positive, it tells you that, no, we are going up. And when people comes in and they will tell you that, please plant 1, 2, 3 for us, it tells you exactly that at least the business is getting recognized. If also like you guys interview us, also give us that exposure for one to grow. It's so positive. Things are happening like this. If people are calling you on a daily basis, looking for a certain crop, do you have cabbage, a certain shop? Like today, we got a call from Boxer Stores. They were looking for cabbages. But as I said, things are looking in that way. It shows you that the growth is there and you're moving on quite well.
5 years, 10 years from now, where do you see the Malashe Agricultural Primary Cooperative?
I see Malashe Cooperative moving on, supplying maybe the hotels. As we have started now, there's a hotel called Hotel 247 in White River. They have started ordering some vegetables. I see us maybe having a pack house that I just mentioned earlier that we don't have, having a pack house, and also supplying the big wholesalers. At the same time, I see us maybe also doing some vegetable processing. That's how I see us maybe moving on as Malaho.
What is your advice to that farmer that is listening to our conversation now and they are inspired into the same direction that you are? What is your advice to them?
I will say they need to be patient. You mustn't give up. Farming is not an easy business. It's a full-time job. You cannot farm using your phone. You leave your farm somebody to manage it for you. My advice is to say you need to be patient and you need to be dedicated. You need to be focused. Farming is a very, very interesting business, but it needs one to be dedicated.
Join us again when we meet another seasoned steward of the earth, ready to guide the next generation of farmers. Don't miss out on the exclusive article covering this episode. Make sure you visit www.foodformzanzi.co.za.
to our amazing audience of farmers and agriculture enthusiasts. Thank you for joining us. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vind, and the rest of hashtag Team Food for Mzansi, thanks for listening.